Blog Talk Radio.
God's Rainbow Ministries, okay, and I am Pastor Ken, and today's show is God's Rainbow Christian and Messianic Tabernacle Church, and I got a great sermon lined up for you. I'm doing a mic check right now. I want to make sure you can be able to hear me. If so, let me know if you can hear me. Let me know if you can hear me, internet friend. All right. Well, let's start this out with a prayer. Amen. Lord God, we come into your presence and ask you to help us, Lord. Help us in every part of our lives, Lord, even when we do not understand, Lord. Be with us with your spirit, Lord. Guide and lead us with your hand, Lord. Let your will be done in all things, Lord, even if we must bear suffering, Lord. Your will is for good alone, and you will set everything right, Lord. Help us, Lord. Bless us through your word, Lord. Through everything we can hear from you, oh Lord, our God and Father, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Amen. All righty. Well, let's get into some music. All right.
China to Africa, and when we go in-
Okay, I'm doing a mic check. Mic check. Can you hear me, Ferrar 699? Okay, great. All right. Okay, now I know that we got everything going, was working just fine. Okay, let's play another great song here.
I worship you.
Showed me Glory to your name.
I can't like, move.
Took him.
Song. Let's play one more song and we'll get into the message. Okay, here we go.
He's my light when darkness is all I can see. He's my way. There seemeth no way for me. He's my comforter when troubles all get me down. He's Yahweh, and I'll follow him. I'll follow.
I will follow Yahweh. Amen. All righty. Let's get into the message I have planned for you. Okay. The title of the sermon is called Listen to Wise Teachers. and it's one of nine. It's a series of living in the last days. And I'm taking this from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 1 through 8. And let's go with an opening prayer for the service. Lord of God, we thank you for filling our hearts with such great trust, Lord. We thank you for all we are given in our lives, Lord. Above all that, we can come to know Jesus Christ. We thank you that over and over we can draw strength and life from his life, Lord. Praise to your name for our life as a goal, and we may find strength and certainty during our time on earth. You will reveal what we hope for, Lord. And even now you allow us to keep something of this goal before our eyes, Lord. We praise you that your name may become great in our midst, and that again and again new life can well up from us, Lord, who are poor and weak, Lord. May your name be praised, setting this goal before us to strengthen us, Lord. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Well, you see, most of us remember our favorite teacher, the person who cared about us, who went the extra mile for us, who sparked an interest within us or ignited a passion within us for others. I have several favorite teachers from grade school to graduate college, and one I remember most in their interest in me. When the lesson is done, what a person remembers is the relationship. The best Christian teacher other than Jesus Christ is the Apostle Paul. Paul was not good-looking. He wasn't the most congenial person. He could be headstrong, unbending, dogmatic, but he was a brilliant scholar and well-versed. This evening, I want to focus in on what makes it for a good Christian teaching. The principles we learn can apply to any setting, school, your home, or your business. Don't forget, we've all been called to share our testimony, so let's pay close attention. Before we look at Paul's teachings, qualifications, let's talk about the letter of 2 Timothy. This is Paul's last letter. The second letter to Timothy includes Paul's final words, and final words are important words. The setting for the letter was a Roman prison cell. Paul had always dreamed of going to Rome, but instead of preaching in Roman Colosseum, he found himself writing letters from behind bars. You know what they tell me. Our ways are seldom God's ways. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9 reminds us, in his heart a man devises his plans, but the Lord orders his steps. So Paul wanted to see Rome, but somebody somewhere always had something else for him to do. So God ordered his steps. And when we don't cooperate with God, he sometimes changes our circumstances to get our attention too. So when Paul arrives in Rome, he was placed under a house arrest. Roman guards lived in his house, but he was free to entertain. Later, probably when Nero was persecuting Christians, Paul was chained in an underground dungeon. As hard as it is to believe, Paul almost forgotten in verse 8, he cautions Timothy not to be ashamed. Some of Paul's friends were ashamed and they were fearful of their own lives. 2 Timothy, verse 9, because I preach the good news, I am chained like a criminal, but the word of God is not in chains. By the time we get to chapter 4, we will discover that Paul's greatest enemies were loneliness, boredom, and coldness. In chapter 4, verse 6, I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time for my departure is near. So Paul's premonition adds a note of urgency to his message. The letter ends without an ending. We can take an educated guess at what happened, but we don't know for sure. The New Testament is a book about Jesus Christ, not Paul. But according to tradition, Paul was beheaded in Rome. Paul wrote his final letter to a young pastor, Timothy, who was his prized intern. Timothy was a recipient of Paul's last will and testament. Timothy was not only to be an executor of his will, he was to fill Paul's shoes. When Warren Worsby wrote his commentary on 2 Timothy, he titled it, Be Faithful. Timothy's mission was to be faithful in Paul's absence, and what Paul passed down to Timothy, Timothy passed down onto us. In these last days, we are to guard the gospel, I'm calling the series Living in the Last Days. And 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1 reads, in the last days, perilous times shall come. I believe these perilous times have arrived, and what we need in perilous times are good teachers. So Paul developed the right credentials. Every good teacher develops several teaching credentials that are necessary. Some jobs require nothing more than muscle. Normally, those aren't the best-paying jobs, even though we need workers in every line of work, but teaching is different. The first credential that Paul developed was knowledge. Paul was born into a well-to-do family, and his parents were able to provide him with a sound education. Gamaliel was the educator of his day, and Paul was fortunate to study under him. Paul also spoke several languages. He traveled through most of the known world, and he was culturally literate. He debated the leading philosophers in Greece, he confounded the theologians in Jerusalem, and he convicted the hedonists in the Corinth. Paul was a lifelong learner. On his voyage to Rome, his ship capsized, and Paul conversed with the sailors using their own vocabulary. He even advised the captain on sailing and the weather. But Paul's knowledge went beyond the physical world. He not only accumulated worldly wisdom, but second, he was also blessed with wisdom from above. As a middle-aged man, Paul discovered God. So knowledge is the accumulation of facts. Wisdom applies those facts to navigate through life. Knowledge is horizontal. It helps us with this life. Wisdom is vertical. We see the world through God's eyes. It's important for Christians to know the difference between knowledge and wisdom. It is possible to have a high IQ but no common sense. It is possible to have a string of degrees behind your name but be nothing more than a professional student. You might have the gift of gab, but what you say isn't the truth. In 2 Timothy verses 3, Paul says that this person has a form of godliness but denies his power. In verse 7, he's always learning but never able to come to knowledge of the truth. So knowledge says name-calling is wrong. But experiencing where the rubber meets the road, we can all pretend to have a form of godliness. But when we drive, it's hard to deny the power of a road rage. Will Rogers once said, "We're all ignorant, we're just ignorant in different fields. You can feel right at home with computers but know nothing about carburetors. Math might be second nature to some of you, but music is a foreign language." As Christians, we need to know about God, knowledge. But we also need to know about God's personality, experience. I had my favorite teachers, but I didn't relate with others as well. We debated this in college all the time about professors. Roy Mays used to say, "Those can do, those who can't teach." It's difficult to be a successful teacher without experiencing the real thing, but it's not impossible. Sparky Anderson and Tommy Lasorda were average baseball players, but great managers. Pete Rose was a great player, but a lousy manager. News broadcasters are always quoting from some leading economist. Before he ever thought about running for president, Donald Trump said, "An economist is somebody who thinks he knows more about money than someone who actually has money." Paul was blessed with knowledge and experience. He learned the scriptures at the feet of Gamaliel. He learned about Jesus in the house of Ananias. And then he put those two qualities into practice during the three missionary journeys. The third credential in Paul's arsenal was mission. Paul identifies himself in verse 1 as an apostle. The Greek word means one sent. Paul was called and sent by God to be a missionary to the Gentiles. When Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he was not only converted, he was commissioned, Jesus said to Paul. In Acts 26, verse 16, "I have appeared to appoint you as a servant and witness of what you have seen and will see." In verse 17, "I am sending you to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light." So Paul was not given a political appointment because he knew the right person. He was sent by God as an apostle to the Gentiles. And if that mission took him to a Roman prison cell, he viewed that setback as God's divine appointment. Paul had right attitude towards his students. Paul addresses his letter to his dear son. The Greek word agapetos, agape, love. And it's a term of endearment. It literally reads to Timothy, my beloved son. Whether you teach math, science, language, or history, one essential for every teacher is genuine love. When I was in junior year, I had a football coach who hated us. He wanted to be the head football coach at the high school, and the school board hired someone else. He's also been fired from previous school, and he was still mad, and he took his frustration out on us. He also thought he was Vince Lombardi. Back in the late 1960s and early 70s, coaches could use all kinds of colorful metaphors, and nobody said a thing. My coach did. I was working with a pitiful excuse of a football player, embarrassment to the school, and I was only kidding myself if I thought I could play football. I never heard an encouraging word fall from the coach McCain's lips, and my teammates never heard one either. He thought he was toughening us up, but he just turned us off. Things could have been completely different had he cared just a little bit for us. Russell Leib used to say, people don't care how much until they know how much you care. That doesn't mean you overlook willful disobedience. Agape, love, is seeking the highest good in someone else. Paul writes in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 2, preach the word, reprove and rebuke all with all longsuffering. Paul was loving, but he was not permissive. So let's notice how he showed his affection for Timothy. First, Paul prayed for Timothy. Christy's mother died 15 years ago. One of the greatest attributes was her prayer life. She made and prayed and fasted for me one day every week. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, I thank God who I serve, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. So think how that must have made Timothy feel, to have the Apostle Paul praying for him. It's not easy to love every student, is it? Sometimes there's a behavioral problem or an attitude problem or a personality clash. The best way to show love and compassion is prayer. Bosses, pray for your employees. Coaches, pray for your athletes. Teachers, pray for your students. Employees, pray for your employer. Second, Paul was sensitive about Timothy's background. In verse 4, Paul reminds Timothy of his tears. In verse 5, he mentions Timothy's grandmother and mother. Their names were Lois and Eunice. Those names kind of date them, don't they? Good teachers know something about their students' personalities and backgrounds. Timothy was given to outbursts of emotion. Maybe it had something to do with the way he was raised. Some can handle direct confrontation, and others need you to tiptoe through the tulips. A good teacher does not treat each student alike. Instead, he treats each person fairly. That means he is sensitive to each person's background and temperament. Third, Paul complimented Timothy before critiquing him. Paul had some heavy assignments to unload, but he doesn't begin with criticism, he begins with compliments. His opening paragraph is filled with affirmation. In verse 2, he writes to Timothy, my dear son. In verse 3, he says, I constantly remember you in my prayers. In verse 4, Paul says, I recall your tears and long to see you. Paul left no doubt about his feelings for Timothy. A good teacher encourages first and critiques second. That made a big difference in the receptivity of Timothy. Paul had invested a lot of sweat and equity in Timothy's past, and he wanted a future for him as well. Timothy had been converted in Listeria. He became a co-worker on the second and third missionary tours. He joined Paul as a fellow convict in Rome, and now he's being counted on to fill Paul's shoes. Paul did more than simply instruct Timothy. They had previously shared victories and defeats, joys and sorrows, answered prayer and prayer requests, and that history gave Paul the right suggestion. So Paul lived a consistent life. In William Barclay's commentary on 2 Timothy, he writes, a man's life will always be heard in context with his character. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, again, verse 3, I thank God for you, The God I worship with my whole heart and tradition of my ancestors. When it comes to teaching an inconsistent life that negates your message, do you recognize the name of Jesse Waters? He's a young reporter who adds humor to the news. He calls his segment Waters World. Waters went to Vermont this past week to interview college students. He was trying to discover their convictions regarding immigration. And one young man stated, "I'm for opening." Excuse me. "I'm for opening the borders to everyone." Waters replied, "Do you have a door in your house?" A young lady said, "We should feed and clothe every child who enters." Waters replied, "How many will you take in?" Remember the old expression, "Let George do it"? It's easy to let George do it until you become George. Paul served God with his whole heart. Listen to verse 3 from the NIV. "I thank God whom I serve as my ancestors did with a clear conscience." The Greek word for clear is katharsis, and our English word is katharsis. It means to cleanse. Paul's conscience was cleansed, not because he was perfect, but because he was forgiven. There's a big difference between the two. In his book, The Friendship Factor, Alan Loy McGinnis tells about one of the greatest teachers ever. Ann Sullivan was hired to tutor a very famous student by the name of Helen Keller. Until she was 7 years old, her doctor said she was an idiot. Ann Sullivan connected the spelled words with objects, and as a result, Helen Keller had mastered 5 languages and appeared before kings, queens, and presidents. So, Paul served with a clear conscience. Paul served with his whole heart. Israel's first 3 kings were Saul, David, and Solomon. Saul had no heart for God. David loved God with his whole heart. But Solomon's love for God was half-hearted. So what about you? So let us pray. Dear Father in heaven, Almighty God, your children look to you in prayer, Lord. Hold us always by the hand, Lord. Reveal to us that you hear us, Lord, that you are among us, providing what is best for us, Lord, to the glory of your name, Lord. In this hour, let us experience something from you, Lord, the good and merciful one, Lord. May we always be glad and thankful for all we have already received from you and for all we are still to receive in our lives. And we pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Well, let's get down to the invitation. How many of you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior? If you do not, that's okay, because you will get a chance to in just a moment. But let me ask you, are you tired of traveling down this long, dusty road and not knowing where to go or which way is up or down? Or maybe you lack purpose in life. Or maybe you suffer from depression or anxiety. Or maybe you suffer from something worse, as an addiction to alcohol or drugs, sexual immorality, gambling, overeating. Whatever it may be, the Lord can take that away. But in order to do so, he has to know you. So the question is this evening, do you want to get to know the Lord Jesus Christ better? Okay, or get to know him? If so, simply say this prayer after me. Say, "Dear God in heaven, I come to you in the name of Jesus. I acknowledge to you that I'm a sinner and I'm sorry for my sins and the life that I have lived. I so desperately need your forgiveness. I believe that your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, shed his precious blood on the cross at Calvary and died for my sins. And I'm now willing to turn from my sins. You said in your holy word in Romans 10:9 that if we confess the Lord our God and believe in our hearts that God raised Jesus from the dead, then we shall be saved. So right now I confess Jesus as Lord of my soul. With my heart, I believe that God raised Jesus from the dead. This very moment, I accept Jesus Christ as my own personal Savior according to his word. Right now, I am saved. So I want to say thank you, Jesus, for your unlimited grace, which has saved me from my sins. I thank you, Jesus, that your grace never leads to license, but rather it always leads to repentance. Therefore, Lord Jesus, transform my life so that I may bring glory and honor to you alone and not to myself. And once again, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me and giving me the precious gift of eternal life. And we pray this in the mighty, precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, if you said that prayer, we here at God's Rainbow Ministries welcome you into the family of God. We want to say may the Lord bless you, and may he always keep you highly favored. Right now, in heaven, God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, all his angels, and everyone in heaven is rejoicing that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So why don't you call in the area code 657-383-1487. Once again, that number is 657-383-1487. Okay, and press the 1 key. And let us know that you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior today. I mean, won't you let us rejoice with them? Okay? Amen. Okay, please call area code 657-383-1487. I'll repeat that one more time. 657-383-1487 and push the 1 key. That'll bring you on live. Amen. Well, we're going to play some music.
hardly tell if he's doing very well by the house he's living in. But I am here to say that he doesn't look at me from many of the rich folks I know. But I am so glad to know when it's my time to go. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. I'm a poor, poor rich man. I'm a poor, poor rich man. Well, can't you see it really happened to me? Now I'm a millionaire. I know that I am poor, but I got a lot more than any of the rich folks I know. But I am so glad to know when it's my time to go. Well, I'm a poor, poor rich man. Some men search for silver and others for gold. I'm looking toward heaven from the Bible we are told. He went away to prepare a place, and if you're in his saving grace, you're safe, 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 saved, I know. Oh, well, I'm saved, hallelujah, I'm saved. I'm saved, hallelujah, I'm saved. If I keep on walking for him, if I keep on talking for him, I'm saved, 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 I know. Up there together, we'll all be as one. Up there together with Yah's only son. Oh, what a happy day. I'm gonna sing and pray. I'm safe, 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 saved, I know. Oh, well, I'm safe, hallelujah, I'm safe. I'm safe, hallelujah, I'm safe. If I keep on walking for it, if I keep on talking for him, I'm safe, 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 I know. I'm safe, 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 I know.
Drink up these waters, for we promise to you're thirsty and dry, raise your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. If you're thirsty and dry, raise your hands to the sky. It's beginning to rain. If you're thirsty and dry, raise your hands to the sky. It's beginning to wide enough to span. Hell's raging fury underneath. Because he knew that I would slip, he made sure that it was not too steep. Because I'm weak and I get tired in my journey day by day, he made a way for me to raise time to time along the way. Nodded to it his hand, just love in his heart. He knew that he would die there, right very store. Thank God for not my wheel in the garden where he fell. You think he's just a carpenter, take a look at what he's doing. If you think he's just a just a carpenter, you say.
Amen, amen. Well, let's get into the prophetic word. I have a prophetic word for you today. The Father said today, I have made you a partaker of my nature. You were formed in my image to be a bearer of my glory and my power. Your deepest and most true self is purely spirit, made uniquely to live in intimacy with me. It is my purpose daily that you walk with me in the cool of the day and the undistracted fellowship with my spirit. I have given you dominion and power to rule your environment and superintend creation in the interest of accommodating the outworking of your connection with me. This life, this earth walks you are engaged in was never intended to be one titanic struggle with darkness, downturn, or destruction. You are a creature of dominion, intimacy, and grace. That is who you are. That is the beauty that is in you. Adapt your thinking and your focus, not upon the outward things trying to distract and diminish you. Set your affections on things above where all authority resides, and you will see that authority being implanted in your life to manifest heaven on earth as your personal reality. Taste and see, says the Father. Taste and see even this day of my goodness and my greatness on the inside of you. Drink deeply of the fullness of my spirit on the inside of you. Practice and give diligence every day and invite every moment of the day to be God inside minded. There are those who are caught up with the outward, that they live their lives in one continuous reaction to external things. They reel from one happenstance and experience to another. They are tossed to and from like plaything that the enemy delights to torment and control. This is not your portion. You are anchored in me. You are secure in me, and I am secure in you. And nothing, therefore, will you be moved, dismayed, or diverted from the plan and the destiny I have so ordered for you from the foundation of the world. Striving is an end. Abiding trust now secures your future. Blessing is your only expectation, and newness of life is yours every morning in the world, says God. Amen. Well, I hope that prophetic message goes out to those who need it most, and you know who you are. All righty. Well, let's play some more music.
Don't be faint of heart. You
Tonight's service. I hope you enjoyed it. Okay. We are not going to do a show Monday night. We'll be back on Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time with another episode of Purpose Gospel Radio. I hope to see and pray that you all show up for Tuesday night at 8 p.m. Central Standard Time for Purpose Gospel Radio. Until then, God bless. Okay, have a blessed day. Oh, hold on a minute. Let's bring on a caller. I got Jason on the line. Hey, Jason, how you doing?
How you doing, man?
Not bad.
All right, what was the message tonight, man?
The message, was about... Okay, 2 Timothy verses 1 through 8. Okay, it was a series I started about the end times. Okay, it was a pretty good message. Yeah, I'm sorry you missed it.
Yes, sir. Yeah, your message has always been good, my man. Like I said, but I never really read the Bible, dude. But I do agree with you that we are in the end times. I do agree with that. I think that's where we at right now.
Yes.
Yeah. It's crazy, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know how it goes. It's that time. Okay. Everything's moving towards another world war. Okay. If we get involved with Syria, it's not going to be pretty.
Yes, sir. I mean, I agree with you, dude. I believe God wanted peace amongst all men. He did, across the country, but across the world, bro. So, that's kind of what throws me off is, I know God wants peace amongst everybody. But he don't want peace amongst evil men and good men. He don't want a war to happen, but I know that at the end of the day, when it comes to human existence, good people always have to battle bad people. Am I wrong or am I right?
Yeah, you're right. You always got to battle.
Hell of a thing, ain't it, my dude? Because brother, good people don't just want to kill somebody, my dude. Bad people, they don't got no problem, my dude, with it, with blowing somebody's brains out. But so. It's a very evil game, but if you ask me, my dude, I'm like, bro, good people try to be good, but then the bad people come, they try to stop them from doing good, and then, what is the good people supposed to do then, because the bad people ain't going to stop until they kill somebody, and if they kill somebody, what's the good people going to do? So, it's a mess, right? It's a mess.
Yeah. Yep, it is. It's a mess. But there's murders every day. There's murders and murders every day.
What do you think about that, though, Pastor Kenny? I mean, but what do you think the good people should do in a time like this, where that if you are a good person, bro, like somebody's gonna come mess with you, and if they mess with you, and you do something about it, you actually become the devil at that moment. So, what is the answer to that?
Well, the answer is to turn the other cheek, like Jesus says. If he slaps you on your left, turn to your right.
And when he slaps you on the right, what do you do?
Tell him to have a good day.
Right.
And leave. Yeah.
Brother. I'm all for that, my man. My dude, I wish the world was like that, brother. But, dude, bro. Evil people do it, bro. Hey, man, they will literally take out your whole family, my man. Like, dude, it's very bad. I didn't know how bad it was, you dig, as far as the spiritual battle, my dude. But, brother, recently I've been, it's bad, man. I mean, dude, good people don't want to hurt nobody. The bad people don't care who they hurt. So, brother, it's like, man, what are we supposed to do right now? And I respect you, brother, and I know you don't have all the answers, brother. I understand that. So I'm not asking you that. You dig what I'm saying, brother? But, bro, good people are pulled into this thing, brother. Like, would there be a good person and a bad person comes and try to end their life, the good person is not allowed to defend. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy. It's crazy, man.
Well, you know, it's, I mean, God doesn't want you to be a pushover either, okay? Okay, I mean, if it comes to pass and that, and you have to defend yourself, okay? You have to defend yourself. Okay.
Yes, sir.
God, I mean, God doesn't want you to sit there and be a punching bag. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Either.
Yeah, I agree with
you. Okay.
That.
You know, so you know, sometimes you have to give force with force. Okay. You may not
right.
want to. You may not want to, and it's not in you to do so. But sometimes you have no choice. Okay.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's the whole thing about the end days, brother. Like, good people want to remain good, you dig, but bad people want to get worse. So therefore, you know about the old days, you dig. You heard about the holy war and all these things, my dude. It's like, bro, good people are always battling with bad people, bro, and evil and good is always clashed. You dig what I'm saying? It's always been like that. You dig? But I mean,
oh,
bro,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I mean, bro, like, so what do the good? I just want the good people to not be pushovers, my dude. I want the good people to stand up, you know what I'm saying, brother, and try to get rid of the evil. But the problem is, bro, like, dude, the evil people, they'll take your grandmother, bro, they'll take your whole family out. That is a crazy and a very sick and psychotic way that the devil has of messing with good people. And that is, I'm trying to figure a way around that, my man. I've been thinking about it, dude. I want to find a way for good people to, you dig what I'm saying, to get past it, bro. But it's like, it's not going to end with nothing but bloodshed. You know what I'm saying? When you think about it, dude, I try to think other angles, but, bro, it's going to end bad, man.
Well, that's why we have to look at the Bible and read the Bible, okay? And
yes, sir.
See what it says to do in the Bible, okay? You know, how to handle certain situations. I mean, because for every situation there's something in the Bible that holds true to your given situation. Okay? So,
Yeah, it's a crazy subject, brother. It is a crazy subject, my man. I don't think anybody has answers, though, brother. Dude, it's such a deep thing, bro. Like, the only person that can give us answers to this is God himself. Because, you know, he is the leader of the good. I mean, bro, it's a weird. Bro, dude, good people do not want to hurt nobody, dude. Everybody can agree with that, brother. Good people don't want to hurt nobody, bro. We don't want to do that. You know what I'm saying? But the devil just keeps coming, bro. And he don't mind. He don't care about. He'll do your whole family. Like, it's crazy. When I think about it, dude, brother, it's crazy. I'm talking about absolutely psychotic. The way the devil works, brother. Like, dude, he'll come from your whole family. I mean, bro, that is crazy.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you have to look at temptation for what it is. Okay? Temptation is
yes,
temptation. Okay, and we're all going to be tempted, okay, our faith is going to be tempted, okay, by one thing or another, okay?
Yes, sir.
So, Look, I got a bunch of callers that just lit up the screen. Let's see if they're good callers and not
I can't stay on for long, brother. I gotta get off the line, but I'm gonna be here for a couple minutes.
All righty. Okay, well, God bless you. Thank you for calling in. Okay. And have a blessed day.
You too now. Take it easy, Pastor Kenny.
Okay. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay. Yep. Okay, that was Richard Hopper. Okay. And his famous Rectum. Yep. Well, I'm getting ready to sign off here. Okay. I took a caller. Okay, and yeah, you did hear a demon sound. It was the last one. Yeah. Okay. I'm gonna say thank you for everybody for being in the chat room today, Ashley. Okay, Ferrar 699, Inner Circle Radio, Internet Friend, and thank you, Jason, for calling, and everybody else has called in. God bless you, and may you have a blessed night. Amen. Oh, wait a minute, we got another caller. Okay, hold on. 432, is that you, Clay? Hello, 432. Okay. All right. Well, good night, guys. Have a blessed night. Bye-bye.